Reformed Church.
You know, we've been talking about, we've talked about relationships a lot at this church before, and it's just been kind of like an ongoing thing that you know, we've been growing in and have taught. And even Ms. Kim pre-service has been talking to the team about guarding your heart and things of that nature. But I just want to give you a quick, I'm not going to read anything to you, just that would take too long. So just to summarize, you can, if you want to look this up on your own time, Numbers 23 is initially where I'll quote, and then Numbers 24 trails on with the same account. And then Numbers 25 is where I'll end up. Okay, so those three chapters if you want to read those. But before I even mention that, let me just kind of give you the punchline on this. So Balaam was a sorcerer in the Bible, okay? And of course, there's no such thing as magic, like in the sense of like Disney magic type of a thing, but magic and sorcery and things like that, that's a demonic, an actual thing that like actually happens. We may be sort of far removed from that in our own lives, but knowing that that's like a demonic thing and Balaam was involved with that, therefore, we can sort of interpret Balaam's actions as sort of a demonic tactic, therefore, because he's being inspired by the devil in this account. So, with that said, Balaam was hired to curse Israel and couldn't curse Israel. In Numbers 23, he says that God had not observed iniquity in Jacob, in referring to the people of Israel, and because God had not observed their sin, not because there wasn't sin, but due to a kind of forgiveness, an Old Testament style forgiveness that was on the people, he said that God has not observed their iniquity, and therefore he said there is no divination, there is no enchantment against Israel. In other words, I cannot curse Israel, and God has blessed, he said, and I cannot reverse it. And that really stands for really the extent of the devil's power towards someone who is forgiven as well. Because, again, Balaam being sort of demonically, at that point, the Holy Spirit had impressed him to say that, but he's a guy involved with demonic stuff. Basically, what that means is that the devil cannot curse a believer. The devil cannot, people talk about generational curses and all this kind of stuff, and for a believer, once you're forgiven, if God has not observed iniquity in you, which is what forgiveness is, there is no divination, no enchantment, no curse, nothing like that. People sometimes blame the results that they're getting in their life on, oh, the devil's just doing this. The devil can't force any destruction on a believer. All right, that's super important. But here's a tactic, though, that Balaam used, which therefore we can interpret that the devil used with the people of Israel, and that's this. Because Balaam could not force destruction on the people of God, he had to get the people of God to willfully turn away from their belief in God and destroy themselves. And that's what the devil will try to do. And what you see with Balaam is, in Numbers 25, Moses ends up kind of informing the people on this that, Moses informs the people of this in Numbers 25, but this actually happens earlier where Balaam counseled the king, Balak, who initially wanted him to curse Israel. After being unsuccessful in cursing Israel, Balaam told Balak, King Balak, instead bring Moabite and Midianite women who serve other gods and have them intermarry with the people of Israel. And through relationship with the people of Israel and the people of Israel marrying people that did not believe like them, you'll destroy Israel that way. And it actually, there was wrath under the Old Testament, which is not a current thing today. So they brought wrath on themselves by doing that. That would never happen today. But the moral of the story is this, that what the devil did was he couldn't force destruction, so he actually used relationships to turn the hearts of Israel away from what they believed. And in that way, they actually destroyed themselves because they voluntarily intermarried with these women, and they voluntarily got into relationships that with people that did not have a compatible belief with them. And when they got involved with relationships with people that did not have a compatible belief, that right there is an evidence that their guard is down, and they were swayed from what they believed, and in that way actually opened themselves up to destruction themselves. So I just want to give you this. The devil, and I don't say this to be a downer, I say this to be just a warning, because God has a lot in store for us, and the devil cannot prohibit you from entering that. But if you get involved with relationships with people that don't believe like you do, and you know they don't believe like you do, that actually is you voluntarily opening yourself up to unbelief, which at best will slow your progress with the Lord, and at worst will turn your heart away. And, you know, the only people that will tolerate unbelief or a relationship in which someone does not believe like you do, and I'm talking specifically about like a romantic style relationship, but this also goes with even just people that you hang out with all the time. The Bible says that those who walk with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. That's super important. It didn't say that fools will be destroyed. A companion of them. That's pretty interesting. Just being a companion of a fool will get you destroyed. And so I'll pretty much start wrapping up with this. And just to tell you that, when we tolerate unbelief that way, and when we say, you know, I believe the Lord, but I'm just going to hang out all the time with people that don't believe the Lord like I do. There are some Christians that honestly might believe differently and will believe differently enough than you do in things that you just know. There are people, for instance, that, you know, we come in contact with that, you know, we believe in healing. We believe in that, you know, God gives life to our mortal bodies. And there are people that just deal with those situations just like the world does. And when you hang out with people like that, or you surround yourself with people like that, or especially if I wanted to make a specific emphasis at least on romantic relationships, that if you start getting involved with someone, you say, well, we're not dating, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you just sort of kind of pursuing that or cozying up to, or even getting close kind of to that, a relationship like that, even hinting at flirting with a relationship like that. I just want to put that out again to you, that this is more than just, oh, it's just my own idea, I just thought this. This is actually a tactic of the devil to sway you away from what you believe, because he can't force destruction on you. He has to get you to voluntarily sign up for it. And one of the ways he does that is when we voluntarily say, yeah, I'll get involved with somebody, even though I know that they don't really believe like I do. And man, especially with a romantic relationship, romantic relationships are meant for choosing someone that you're going to have to make decisions with, every decision with, for the rest of your life. That is not something to even get close with if you know that they don't really believe like you do right now. You wait for that, and if they never believe like you do, then the Lord has someone else for you. I'll just tell you that right now. The proper response to when you start even feeling, because you know inside your own feelings, if you feel an affection towards someone in like a romantic way that you know doesn't believe like you do, the idea is not stick around and just hope you don't fall into a relationship. The idea is run the other way as fast as you can. If you don't do that, you're not guarding your heart and you're not taking the gospel seriously. That is the only proper response. The Bible says flee youthful lusts. That, and a lust, sometimes we say, well, that's like a sexual desire. No. It's just a wrong desire. If you feel a desire to get into a romantic relationship with someone that you know they don't believe like I do, that is currently a wrong desire. Even if that's the one God had for you years down the road, right now it's a wrong desire, because he doesn't want, I'll tell you right now, if you heard from God and you say, I heard from God though that I'm supposed to do this, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be bold enough to tell you right now that you heard wrong. God will not contradict Scripture. He wrote Scripture, okay? Flee youthful lusts. And it's a tactic of the enemy, not a tactic of God, to get you involved with people that do not believe the same as you do. Unity in the faith is vitally important. Not that you try to flirt and then sort of convert at the same time. You let them seek the Lord independently. You let them, if they cannot independently seek the Lord for themselves and come to a unity of the faith with you just on their own volition, not because you try to convince them so that you can kind of make things work. If they can't do that, then they're not the one for you, even at the very least right now. And I just want to tell you this because this has been an ongoing thing. I have had more conversations than actually I could probably even count with a small church like we have about these type of things. And I don't believe, I'm not making a statement about any person in particular. I'm just saying, generally speaking, in the church, I don't believe that most people take that seriously. And we should. If that was a tactic of the devil to throw Israel off their horse, so to speak, because he couldn't curse them, so let me just bring someone across their path that doesn't believe like them, so that hopefully, you know, if they're really hot, the people of Israel, and the people, the women of Midian are really, really cold, hopefully, at the very least, when they mingle, it'll kind of just get to a lukewarm state, and kind of like, you know, things will fizzle down a little bit in their seeking of God. Things will kind of like fizzle down a little bit in their belief. So I'll leave you with that, but I just want to tell you, God has a lot for you. And that's what the gospel stands for. The gospel is the power of God to empower you to receive from God. And when you tolerate things like that, that's not a show of maturity, like I'm just strong enough to handle this. That's a show of immaturity, and we just need to be more careful than that. Too many people in the Bible, I could go down a whole list right now of people that were destroyed or at least did not serve God with a perfect heart anymore, just because of relationships. Solomon, the wisest man that had ever lived at his time, had his heart turned away just because of relationships. And that's a humongous, humongous thing. If you feel an affection towards somebody, I'm not talking about dating, I'm saying you feel even an affection, the beginnings of some kind of affection towards someone in a romantic way that you know does not believe like you do, run the other way. Make a concerted effort to make sure that you're not just hanging around that person all the time so you don't fall into something that later on you're going to end up regretting when you have to make every single one of your decisions with this person for the rest of your life. It's really, God has the best in mind for you, and that's why I tell you this.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.